Hello and welcome to the Art of Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Peterson, and today we're shifting gears. The conversation is around estate planning and making sure that we can have our affairs in order, both for ourselves as well as our loved ones, should anything happen then we pass unexpectedly. What I was so drawn to for having this guest, John Braddock, join us is that I have gone through this process several times with my grandmother and my mother, settling their estate, being able to take care of their affairs, and it's just a deeply personal topic for me. I know how important it is. I was prepared, and I love the fact that John has created a company in service of others. He's very passionate, having gone through this experience on his own, and I think you're going to enjoy our conversation. I can tell you that John is like us. He's just so soulful. It's wonderful to listen to him, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. John, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, and thank you so much for having me, and a big shout out to all your listeners.
Thank you. Well, I'm really excited to learn about you and to learn about mylifeandwishes.com. And I would love it if you could just tell us a little bit more about you and your vision for your company, because I think that's going to help everybody get up to speed with what we're going to be talking about more.
Yes, you bet. Well, my background is the financial services industry. I had my own advisory company, in which I was involved with for, well, let's just say over 30 years, because I like to cap it there. And I actually, through going through kind of a life-changing experience, sold my company, built an organization known as My Life and Wishes. And our vision is to help at least 10 million families avoid the pain, challenges, and struggles that we went through after losing a loved one.
Yeah, I was saying even offline, like I've worked on settling the estate for my mother and for my grandmother and also for my father. And so, you know, when I found out about what you're doing, I felt like it was a great conversation because of my background in finance, I am very prepared around these things. So I had trust for everybody. And I was able to be the person who took care of things, but I know that most people don't have things quite organized like I do. So can you talk about that?
Yes, you bet. For us, 4 years ago, when my father-in-law passed away, who we were fortunate in the fact that he lived right up the street, so it was actually convenient for us to work through the process. But he was an 88-year-old man who thought that, you know, everything was organized and everything in its place. My mother-in-law, Marie, hadn't paid a bill, written a check, or done anything financial in 63 years of marriage. And what I thought was going to be a fairly easy process took us in excess of 10 months to finally close out, locate things such as safe deposit boxes, other assets, stock certificates, and the list goes on and on of the things that are out there. And it got me thinking, wow, you know, this is an 88-year-old man. And of course, it's a generation that didn't talk about things like that. And, you know, when I grew up, you know, 60s, 70s, excuse me, it was pretty easy to settle someone's final affairs, because everything a person had was probably in a desk drawer or a file cabinet somewhere within their residence. And every bill, obligation, credit card, banking relationship, et cetera, that they had, a statement or a document about that would show up in the mailbox. Not the mailbox that we're all thinking about. I'm talking about that metal thing that sat out at the end of the driveway. Everything would show up there within the next 30 to 60 days. So you could kind of get through the process, but those days are gone. The only thing I get in the mailbox out front of the house these days is coupons, pizza flyers, and once a year a birthday card from my mother. Everything else is done online, and it's secure, and we're transient, and we move from place to place. So, you know, where are, if something were to happen to me, the life insurance policies? Where are proof of ownership documents? Where are all the financial accounts? What banks are they located? Is there stock? Where are the certificates? Who are the advisors that we work with? And I got thinking, because my wife and I, Michelle, we have six children that run from the age of 18 to 31. And I thought, man, if something were to happen to one of us, you know, we're entrepreneurs, we have businesses and multiple assets and things scattered. If something were to happen to us at the same time, our children would have no idea where to begin, how to get started. I mean, heck, they don't know who our attorney is, for that matter. And that process for them, God forbid it were to happen, where it took us, you know, 10 plus months for an 88-year-old man, and we know something about finance, our children would probably never find everything that they needed. And it's crazy, because it's an avoidable situation if we just plan and prepare, organize things in a simple and seamless way, a place where, as the title of my new book, Click Here When I Die. For our kids now, today, this 4 years after we went through this situation, they know that if something happens to me, that with a push of a button, they will be able to access everything they need to know. Take that multi-month or multi-year process, compress that right down into, you know, a few weeks, maybe a month, to locate, close out everything. And therefore, we're changing what happens today when people pass. You know, when someone dies, there's a couple of normal emotions, sadness and grief. And we can't do anything about those, and we don't want to do anything about those. Those are part of the normal healing process. But all too often, compounded with that is anger, stress, frustration, confusion. And those can last months. They can be overwhelming, and they can delay a person being able to go through the normal grieving process. We want to stop that.
Yeah, I remember when my grandmother, I felt like, I think she was planning for death for about 25 years, in all fairness. So when she passed away, and the reason I say that is because she was like so scared of this happening. Like, she was so afraid that we wouldn't know where things were or how to find them or what to do, that she just spent a lot of time that probably, you know, wasn't necessary. And maybe with what you've created, it becomes, you know, it's like you can do it once and you update it maybe once a year. You can tell us about that. But I just remember thinking, this poor lady is so worried about her stuff not being found or understood or what have you, that she's spending a lot of time worrying about it. Do you see that happen, especially as people get older?
They start to think about it more, albeit no one wants to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and they may do the planning on their own. You know, my take on it is this. If we get our head around the concept of what do we want the experience to be like for our family after we're gone, okay, then, I mean, if we don't care, you know, I'm sorry, there are people out there, it's like, yeah, somebody will figure it out.
Right.
Kind of selfish. On the other side, if we really truly care, then we'll start to plan. And the reason we'll do that is because, you know, we as human beings, we're planning by nature. We're planners. You know, we plan for vacation. We plan for the arrival of a new child by, you know, is that boy or girl? Do we paint the room this color or that color? We plan for our kids going away to college and school. We plan for our retirement. We work hard for all the assets we've acquired during that period of time. And hopefully we want to pass on some kind of a legacy behind. But the one thing we don't plan for is what happens after. And the only thing I can think of is the reason we don't is because all the other planning in life we do is for us. It benefits us. Planning for what happens when you're gone doesn't benefit us, benefits somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, why it's so difficult. But if we get our head around the concept that we're doing this for love of our family, then we'll take the time and get it done.
And do you have some, I mean, I'm hoping none of the people that you've worked with have died, but do you have any stories of like what's happened by using your service?
The service in and of itself is new. We're just over a year old since launch. So, to the best of my knowledge, we haven't had any people pass away because we haven't had feedback. But the feedback we have had from our users, which is really interesting, number one, it is giving people a sense of organization. I know your audience is a lot of successful people and entrepreneurs, and people are like, yeah. And let's face it, folks, our lives are chaos. We have stuff scattered everywhere, and the feedback I'm getting from people is, wow, you hooked me on the concept of, albeit not very sexy, making things easier for your family at the end. But what I found out is by putting all this stuff together in one safe area that I can continually keep it updated and secure and those kind of things, I've organized my life. I've made things easier for me. So we refer to it kind of as your virtual vault. On the heels of Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma over the course of the last month, the thing that really resonated with me was millions of people have just lost everything. Because I have people tell me all the time, well, I'm organized. I have everything. It's all laid out. I have, my death file or my death book, and it's all in the drawer and everything else. Guess what? For all those people, it's gone. And so while the initial thought behind this is really to not leave a mess for people when you leave and to make it easier for them, and that's always my ultimate objective here, what we're really finding out is that this virtual vault concept that we've created is not only a end-of-life planning tool, but it's a life planning tool at the same time.
Yeah, so you're doing it in the spirit of helping others, but you ultimately realize that it's giving you peace of mind. It's also giving you a place to put this stuff. I'm looking at the page right now, the mylifeandwishes.com, and I like how it's personal, financial, family, advisors, documents and accounts, end of life, pets, which is awesome, and then veterans benefits. It's cool because I can see the comprehensive nature of what you're collecting and storing. And yeah, this would have made I like this is way easier than what I did when I was, helping my mom and my grandma.
Sure. And the way we've designed it is that, my wife and I share an account. So, spouses, partners, whatever can share an account. There's different tabs within each, so you can keep things, separated as well as shared things, go into a nice, neat folder, within it. But then you also have the ability to, assign what we refer to as an authorized user. An authorized user is somebody that you will grant access to be able to get into your account to either view certain sections and or edit certain sections within the platform. And you can turn them on and off as you so desire. The reason we found that very important, because many of us, younger, I'm 55, so I'm at the young end of the baby boomer generation. My parents are in their 80s. In that case, my parents might want to assign me full access to the account now to make sure, because, when I tell mom, we need to scan a copy of your will and we need to upload it. Yeah, because they actually have a place in Fort Myers. Fortunately, they were spared the brunt of Irma. But let me do those things for you and keep it up to date. And she realizes that, yes, that will benefit me and the rest of the siblings, at, the ultimate time. We also have financial advisors who work with their clients with the platform who have access to all these important documents that should be stored in their virtual vault. And so the advisor can actually initially have access to build out and upload and put the information in place. Because, you know, if it were left to me, I wouldn't build my account out because I'd just keep procrastinating. But, you know, fortunately, my wife is very detail-oriented, and so she built ours out. And that's going to be the situation in many cases. If people realize the importance of getting it done, if there's someone that can assist you with it, you have the ability to have them help you with that.
That's so cool. I'm curious, too, because everyone who listens to this is either, you know, has a business or a side hustle or is thinking about starting a business. And just as your own experience of starting, it sounds like, was the advisory business your business as well? And then you sold that, you said, and you started this business?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just curious about, you know, how's it going? Like, it sounds like this is very aligned with your passion and you're really excited about it. That's not always easy to start a business when you're following your heart in the way that many of us are. So I'm just curious if you have any things that you've learned along the way that you could share with listeners.
You know, yes. It at any time in anyone's career, when they make the decision to start a new business as an entrepreneur, even though you've started and been successful with many, we always have our fears, our doubts, our worries, concerns. You know, I mean, you know, my goal is to help, you know, 10 million families. It's been a year. How come I haven't helped 10 million families yet? You know, I'm very impatient. You know, the key for me has always been to continually focus on my why. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all have a purpose, you know, in life. And for me, for 30 some years as a financial advisor, you know, I was helping, you know, people plan and prepare and get life insurance in order and accumulate wealth, etc. And I was helping people, you know, one at a time here and there, but there were a lot of people doing that. And you know, was I making a difference? Yes. Was I making, you know, a huge difference on the world? Maybe not. But I was supporting my family, and that was wonderful. When I came into this concept, it really became more about changing what people do. It's like, no one talks about death. It's like, why not? We're all going to die. 300,000 years of human existence, the odds are pretty overwhelming. One out of one of us are going to pass away. So, you know, why not talk about it? You know, it doesn't have to be a Debbie Downer. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I am going to pass someday, kids. You know, I know it's going to be sad, whatever. Don't mean a depression now. But all you need to know is when that day comes, this is what you need to do. Trust me, it's going to make things easy for you. And so my why, my purpose is to really change the way people look at, you know, end of life, and to understand that while, you know, technology continues to make our lives so much simpler with things, while we're here, it makes them far more complex for those who are trying to figure it out at the end of the day. I mean, right down to, heck, I mean, we all have friends who are active on Facebook and LinkedIn who are deceased.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, what about all those things? What about your Netflix subscription that's on auto pay? I read two newspapers every day. They don't show up in the driveway. They show up on my iPad. And unless someone can figure out how to turn that off, it's going to continue to accumulate debt on my credit cards until someone stops it. And that's money my family is not going to get. You know, so for me, my why is I got to help 10 million people. That's my goal. That's what gets me up in the morning. And when, you know, I have, you know, down days, as we all do, or we get scared or concerned, or is this really working the way I want it to do? I have to just come back and focus on my why, my purpose. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And it keeps me balanced and keeps me moving forward.
I love that for so many reasons, including something just happens to us as human beings when we connect into, you know, you call it why. I mean, there's probably other ways. It's like, how am I serving? How am I taking all of these beautiful gifts that I've acquired, been given, you know, inherited, whatever, and how can I serve with that? And when the minute you shift into that service way of being, it's like all the grasping of like, why hasn't it happened yet? Or why isn't this working? Or why have I spent so much money, you know, or whatever that story is. It's like they disappear in that moment. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, to get kind of deep for a second, and I heard someone say this a long time ago, I'm not sure which, you know, motivational person it was, but it makes a lot of sense. It's like, you know, we're born into the world, you know, with naked, no clothes on, and we have absolutely nothing. And when we die, you know, we're pretty much going out the same way. We're not taking anything with us. So if we can't take anything, then that's not our purpose for being here, to take and acquire. Our only purpose can be to give. Whatever it is we learn, you know, I think it's almost our responsibility to help others, to share, to give that knowledge. You know, the other saying that I've heard very recently from a gentleman named Joe Polish was, you know, the world gives to the giver and takes from the taker. I want to be a giver.
Yeah, well, I've never heard it said. I mean, I love this idea that if you're not able to take, you know, when you go, but you can give, like, wow, that's a really cool way of thinking about it. Because I think so many of us do want to leave the world in a better place when we go, and that we are very inspired at the idea that there are changes happening in the world, and that there's a lot of what's going on right now is the disruption because the change is coming. And it gives us inspiration that the things that happen that we, you know, make us deeply sad, that there is also opportunity to continue to be in service and to give and know that that's our part. You know, like that's what we can do. And no one can ever take that away from us.
Exactly. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, world changing things. I mean, you know, the people who volunteer at the soup kitchen, they're giving, you know, to whatever degree there is. And so in my case, through my experience, I want to give something back that I learned and hope other people avoid it. So my gift is, you know, the knowledge, the instruction, and the ability for people to be able to prevent creating this big problem for their family at the end of the day. And in the short run, being able to protect and keep and preserve your past and protect your future now while you're still alive from fires and hurricanes and natural disasters of any sort.
Beautiful. Well, just as we wrap up, if you could remind people, you know, what's the best way to get started, or maybe there's something on your site that allows them to learn more, that would be great to share.
You bet. Our site, mylifeandwishes.com, is full of information that they can get. We have in excess of 100 blogs out there, tips, pointers to help people get started. We do offer a free trial. I never ask anything of anybody, so no credit card required to start a free trial for 30 days. Those that choose to continue with a subscription, it's $79 a year. We want this to be affordable for everybody and the masses. The other thing we have to offer to your listener is what we call our 10 things you need to know. It's a white paper, an ebook that really goes through the 10 things you really need to think about before you really get started with your planning. And they can find that at mylifeandandywishes.com/podcast.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. And we'll include that in the show notes. So thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. And I know the listeners have got Some great things to be thinking about.
Great, wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Abundance podcast. For more life-changing results to heal your money story, go to wealthclinic.com. On my homepage, you'll find a wealth flower assessment that you can download and get access to a tool that helps you create more wealth in your life. I recently met Damon John from the Shark Tank. He told me that he actually practices something quite similar to this process every single morning. Check it out. Namaste.